response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use. I'm Ann Baldwin, one of the hosts of this program.
And I'm Lisa Enkidoki. And woohoo, today.
Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, I got to tell people what I'm looking at right now. I am looking at this hot woman in a long black dress with a little sequiny top and these, what do you call those, the disco ball earrings. Why are you all dressed up?
Well, you know, Beyonce just dropped Renaissance.
Right.
But it's really my favorite, one of my favorite people's birthday, Norman Lear, who turned 100.
So, woo!
Yes.
Woo! That's so definitely a reason to celebrate.
Hey, I want to make it to a century, so I'm trying to get ready and in line.
You're on your way.
Yes. So today we have not only the talk about Norman Lear, who a lot of people don't realize was born in New Haven, Connecticut, but raised in Hartford, went to Weaver High School. People are like, he went to Weaver High School in Hartford, Connecticut? Yes, people, that is true. He and his sister Claire, who also were born and raised here in Connecticut and still consider Connecticut a very special place in their heart, though I know he celebrated in Vermont this week with his family. I wanted to just give us a little sneak peek of who Norman is. You know, he did great shows, Ann, like All in the Family, The Jeffersons, Sanford and Son, Maude, Facts of Life, One Day at a Time, and on and on and on. But today we have with us Bernadette Stanis, who plays Thelma on Good Times. I mean, I wanted to be Thelma when I was growing up. The first time we saw all black family, separate from the Jeffersons, who lived in Chicago, we wanted to be Thelma, the main sister over there with those brothers. So welcome, Bernadette Stanis.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here with you guys.
And tell us a little bit about, you obviously were back in the heyday of Norman Lear when, you know, he started with these shows. What was it like to work with Norman? And tell us your fondest memories. I know you actually got to be on, what are you up for, Emmy? The show Good Times is up for the remake with Jimmy Kimmel.
Unbelievable.
Up for an Emmy.
Well deserved. I'm sure it's going to work out. That's great.
Yes. So tell us what it was like to work with Norman. What was he like all those years ago?
Well, to work with Norman was really fun because he was the type of a person that was calm and cool, but very serious. He also made us laugh a lot. You know, I mean, he just has this contagious laugh. So when he laughs, we all laugh with him. But he was just a wonderful type of a person, and he dealt with people in a wonderful way. Like, he knew each person's personality, and he handled each person accordingly.
Now, tell the truth. I know he likes to drop those F-bombs, as does my co-host. We all he has a little potty mouth, but it's all in good fun. Is that not true? Did you ever see that side of him?
Never.
Absolutely
never.
Oh, my God. Never, he must have been really good with you. Oh, my goodness. But yes, tell us in terms of you actually did you were at the remake with Jimmy Kimmel last year. What was that like to see your show, you know, the history of everything you all meant to the world and then see that remade? I forgot who actually played you. Was it
It was Jamie Foxx's daughter.
Corinne Foxx. That's right. Yes. Okay. So tell us what that was like.
Well, it was interesting because we walked on the set and they were there to play the parts, you know, and I felt for them because they were very nervous. I mean, it's very, very hard to see someone else play, you know, your part, and they had to do it a certain way. And the person that originated the part is sitting there watching you.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you? That's got to be intimidating.
Yes.
It was very rough for them. And I knew that. But I think they did as best they could, you know. I think they did well.
But they could have had you, and they should have had you. I got it, girl. Go ahead. I'll say it for you. And
now they're
going to be doing a is it cartoon of Good Times now with Steph Curry's company, I think?
Yes, they're going to do a cartoon of Good Times now.
Okay, yeah. So what do you think of that?
It's amazing.
I think it's great. I'm doing one of the voices, so it's really great.
Oh, wow. Oh, so we get to break that news here. You're doing the voice. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm doing one of them.
Oh, that is great. So tell us, if you had something to shout out to Norman, what would you want Norman to know? Because I know you've seen him in the last year or two. So what do you want to tell Norman on his 100th birthday here?
Look, that he has to give me that recipe, whatever he has that made him live so long. You know, I mean, tell me what he did so I could do it.
But I'm
going to say that... he's always been a wonderful person, and he's still that wonderful person, and he has not lost one beat.
No, he hasn't. Most people don't know that I met Norman when he came to visit his sister when I was 17 years old. And I went in a room with him and said, you know, you were supposed to come to my mom's program, and your office said you weren't available. He said, well, I'm available now. Let me get in your car and go with you. I was like, what? I was like, what?
That's nice.
I was in trouble. And then I was like, oh, my God, my mom's going to kill me because she told me don't have anybody in the car. And then I showed up at the program. My mother could not believe that I had him because she specifically said, do not go to this house and bother these people. But I did. And then after he did his speaking, I thought all day, how am I getting to Hollywood? How am I going to do that? So I asked him, and he said, you know what? Come to Hollywood and work after you go to school. And I thought, I didn't want to go to school, but I did. And he brought me when I turned 18, he brought me to Hollywood to work on everything behind the scenes. At the end of the summer, he brought me in his office. He said, so when do you go back to school? I said, can't afford to go back to school. I'm going to stay right here. He said, good. I'll pay for you to go to school. Goodbye.
Really?
Yes, he
did. Wonderful.
Yes, he did.
That's
and 43 years later, we're still fast friends. And like I said, the one thing that I read through all of the numerous things that were on this week, from the New York Times to everybody wrote things about him. And he even wrote an op-ed, New York Times, Washington Post, LA Times. You know, he's still very, very committed to our country, being an American, what that means. He's still very proud of that.
Yes.
And, you know, he also talked about the fact that if people write to you or call you, respond. And let me tell you, I called him this week. He picks up the phone. Hey, Lisa.
Yes. Oh, that's so sweet.
You know, I want what he's drinking for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, right after that Good Times Live, I wrote him a nice little letter, and he answered me.
Yeah,
you
see?
Know? He answered me back right away.
Gentleman.
So, I mean, he's just, he's still a gentleman.
Still a gentleman.
He has to pass that down to the younger people now.
That's right. Well, even to some older people, I think that's why he's living so long. He still makes time for people.
Right.
He doesn't go in a pecking order. He knows plenty of famous people that are his friends. And he still treats everybody like you're the only one in the room. And that's what I really love and adore about him.
That's beautiful, because that's exactly the way he is.
Yes, he is. And I want to say, Bernadette, that also it's because of Joe Young, your business associate, that we were able to get you today. So we want to give a shout out to Joe Young, who's going to be
coming out
shortly, because he is the reason. You know, he's always talked to me about, you know, we need to do something with Norman and honor him in Hartford, because people don't know he's from Connecticut. So Joe Young is going to come on in a few minutes talk about our plight to try and get something Norman Lear in Connecticut, you know.
Oh, that's nice. That's wonderful.
But thank you so much for your time and for calling
You're welcome, darling. And we look forward
to seeing you on the screen or also
in cartoons.
In the cartoon soon.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So Bernadette, before we let you go, what have you got coming down the pike? Where can we look forward to seeing and hearing you again?
Okay, I'm going to join the cast of The Family Business. It's on BET Plus. It's called Carl Weber's The Family Business, and I'm going to play the character Nene Duncan.
Uh-oh, are you going to be a nice character? Because that's a little scary show. It's a good one, juicy show.
Yes, I'll be nice in the day.
Oh!
But I'm going to be bad at night.
Uh-oh.
That sounds fun.
Uh-oh, that sounds... Ooh, we better watch out for that. Okay. So we'll look for you.
And what else? Okay. Anything else you want to talk about?
Well, no, that's it. That right now I'm getting ready to write another book on Good Times. You know, the back scenes, what I saw it as. And that's going to be fun. Other than that, I still write my poetry and I still dance.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much for tuning in and showing up for us today, and to salute our hero over here, Norman Lear, 100 years that we're all trying to get to. And thank you so much, Bernadette.
You're welcome. And he's my hero, too.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Love it.
Bye-bye.
Hey, we have Joe Young here. Joe Young is a phenomenal cartoonist, but more importantly, he's an entertainment businessman who is making things happen, from his Diamond in the Rough movie to other things that he's working on now and working with Smokey Robinson. Hey, woo! Joe Young.
Man.
But most importantly, Joe is the one who helped us get Bernadette Stanis today. You know, Thelma on Good Times. He helped to make that happen. But why we're all here today is because it's Norman Lear's 100th birthday. It's his next century, and we're trying to make a mark for that next century. So, Joe, tell us why. You know, I know why I think we should do something about Norman, but tell us why you think something should be done in Hartford about Norman.
Well, it was a pleasure to be here, Annalisa, but Norman Lear is a hometown guy from Connecticut, Hartford, went to Weaver, and I think he needs to be honored because he's from here, and he has inspired so many of us filmmakers and creatives that it's all possible. A lot of times we hear Hartford's so small, no one makes out of Hartford, and Norman has made it to the apex of the entertainment industry. So him be opening the door and giving us a blueprint is worthy of recognition, celebration, and roses.
Yes, we agree with that. I think Anne, wouldn't you say? I mean, first of all, we want to know what he bottled to get to the set.
Right.
We're all looking for that first and foremost.
Well, we know he was a cusser, and I'm a cusser, so I got that one going for me. But
yeah. We know that he's a kind man and that he's opened up doors. A lot of people don't talk about he put the first African-American writers on TV along with the first African-American, you know, families like the Jeffersons and like in Good Times, which Thelma was a part of that cast.
What's Sanford kind of interesting, though, is All in the Family, too, right?
Yes.
So what a contrast, right?
Yes.
There you had Archie, the biggest bigot there was, right?
Right.
But yet he's producing these other shows. But
I think George Jefferson was his contemporary to Archie Bunker.
Right.
So I think he just expanded our mind. He dealt with social issues in a funny way with laughter, which is what he always says keeps him alive. And we all love the laughter, but it talks about serious societal issues and how we have to deal with that. And unfortunately, 50 years later, here we are still dealing with some of these things that people find so difficult to just kind of agree to disagree and then kind of move on. We're really caught in a rut here. And I think Norman Lear was decades, obviously centuries ahead of his time.
Absolutely.
And so I think he should be honored.
So let me ask you this, Joe. So what can we do? Have you talked to anybody in Hartford about getting some special? I mean, he's not getting any younger.
That's right.
Well, Lisa and I have been talking about for a while now, how do we give him his roses? And what I want to do with Lisa is bring in some of these stakeholders in Connecticut, specifically the Hartford area, and give him recognition, whether it's something named after him, whether it's an honorary doctorate, something on that level.
Or all of the above.
All
Joe,
of the
we
above.
We get him a street, we need a statue, we need everything.
No, you can't put up statues anymore.
Uh-oh.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's
no.
Okay. We can't. Street signs, and so his legacy lives on. 100 years from now, a kid is questioning himself, can I make it? And they study the life of Norman Lear from the same area they are. And that is, to me, worth it all.
Yes. Yes, I agree with you. You know, I have talked to you about this for a long time. I know you talked to our mayor in Hartford. Tell us about, you know, he's on board as well. I've talked to Lieutenant Governor. I think the governor's on board. So they all want to do something. I think it's just we got to get to getting. You know, like Ann said, hey, a century, how much more time do we need here?
Right. Well, and you said, Lisa, to yourself, you know, you called him on his birthday or the day before his birthday. He answers a phone. I mean, he's still all there, right? He's still writing, thank you letters and responding to people's correspondence.
And he has 23 projects in the
works.
Yes, 23 projects in the works, all these remakes.
Right.
But he also is out there also trying to still do things around democracy, still do things around just people, about voting rights. He's doing all different types of things. And you know he has the Norman Lear Center at USC.
Oh,
a lot of people don't realize he has that. The Walter Annenberg Center, the Norman Lear Center is there doing great things for students and people and just for research. There's all kinds of things that he's involved in. So I think, and he has the Lear Family Foundation that also supports a lot of things. So I think when people think of Norman Lear, they just don't really realize how wide-reaching he is and how involved he actually is and committed to things across the world, actually. So I'm very proud to call him a friend. And I'm more importantly, I'm proud that you, Joe, are on board with trying to get something going, because, of course, everybody thinks I'm just biased, so... I'm glad I got somebody else over here with me.
I'm with you too, Lisa.
Thank
I'm with you,
you
too. So let me ask you this, Joe and Lisa. I'm going to kind of point the finger at you a little bit. You've talked to people. So now what? What kind of a response are you getting? I mean, it's an election year, right? So the timing right now is probably not great. But after that, anybody saying, look, I'll open up my doors. Let's do this. Let's do that. What do we got to do to move it along?
Oh, we've been working behind the scenes, and actually had a meeting yesterday with a major stakeholder who said if Norman is open, we want him.
Wow.
And so it's going to be a little suspense on that.
Yeah.
That was station last night. I was actually another note. I was with Bob, Smokey Robinson's manager. I was with him all week, so he knows what I'm doing, what we're trying to do with Norman. So, I mean, it's going to be a big thing when we do it.
Yeah, and you should know that Joe brought Smokey Robinson over here to Goodwin College, and there's a whole center named after Smokey Robinson now, you know.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I'm like, it's amazing. My goodness. Unbelievable. And that's what you need. We need to do that, because Joe's also the CEO of Harford Has Talent. Harford Got Talent, I guess is how it's kind of said, which we all know. So again, tell us a little bit about that, Joe. What is the Harford Got Talent? And what's
Harford Got Talent is a new 501c3 nonprofit. It was created by Petroselli, philanthropist, businessman. Him and I were having breakfast, and we're talking about Brother Carl Hodricks and all the violence going on and how can we help. And I said, the only thing I know is the arts.
That's right.
And 6 months ago, it's born. It's fully funded. We're doing workshops. I'm at the Charter Oak Cultural Center. And so it's giving the community a showcase and a platform to perform the arts. This year, this summer, we're doing a pilot with the Boys and Girls Club at the Charter Oak in the Y. And that's a pilot. This fall, we're going to open it up to all ages. And next year, we'll be on the Bushnell big stage.
Wow, that's great. You know, Joe, I recently saw some news coverage about Harford's Got Talent. You've gotten some good coverage on the program.
Yes.
Well, again, we're bringing a lot of, you know, great minds together. And, you know, we're striving for excellence. I always say, if you run after success, success runs away, but if you run after excellence, success runs towards you. And that's why we need people. We need the Norman Lears to get involved, to give some advice or their thoughts or something like that, because he's from here. And so just excited, you know, about that. And I also created this new comic. It's a black time traveler called Kemet, a 10-year-old kid. He's in 230 newspapers. I got 22 million readers a week, and he goes through time talking about issues and giving information. But I was inspired by Norman last week. A new copy of my comic book came out, and it's called Who Do You Say That I Am? And the question is, what color? And it's thought provoking. It's not a religious thing. It's a historical thing. What color was Jesus? And I was inspired by the episode, Was Jesus Black on Good Time? So Norman Lear inspired me today with a book that just came out last week.
And wait, didn't he all inspire us with the Archie Bunker episode where Sammy Davis Jr. came on and wanted to shake his hand and gave him a kiss? I think that, I love that episode.
I remember that one.
Never forget that episode, because it's so true. We just expect certain things of people, and then we kind of have our distance with people, and then sometimes the least amount of friction, and that person just shocks you and does something you never expect, but it breaks down barriers. And I think that's once again the epitome of what Norman Lear is, to evoke laughter in us, to make us think differently, or to at least open our mind to other things. And that's what I think he's always done with Maude, with all of his characters that have always been strongly, even the strong women. That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
He thought women should be at the forefront of everything. And if you even remember, you know, Archie tried to always stifle Edith. And Edith was at one point was like, I will not, Archie.
Well, what Norman Lear is a master at, because he's doing shows as we speak. He is a master at putting sensitive issues in a Trojan horse.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Then people, what we can talk about it instead of fighting about it.
Yes.
And
yes.
So he's a master. Provoking thought by putting these serious, delicate issues in a Trojan horse called comedy.
And it's an icebreaker. It's a conversation starter.
It is.
And I think it's even a good exercise for people that maybe you're listening and you're like, who is Norman Lear?
Right.
Well, you need to Google him.
That's right.
You need to go back and watch some of these episodes and some of these programs that he's produced and been involved in, because, you know, the messages are still so relevant today.
Well, when you think of Mary Hartman, we all thought she was crazy and off the riff when we were growing up.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of people, but we didn't always see that. You know,
right.
We didn't always see someone who maybe was a little different, but still had a message, you know, and we didn't get to look at that. And I think he gave us kind of a peek inside of how feisty some women could be, whether it was going through, you know, menopause, or whether it's going through the change of just all different kinds of changes. So again, you know, we encourage you. And of course, this week, the media gave Norman Lear a front row seat to his life. A lot of people actually did that. And there's going to be an upcoming special. ABC's doing a special in September to salute Norman Lear, with a lot of celebrities that are going to come out. A lot of celebrities talk this week, but they're going to come out and really give him a centennial celebration.
Well, what a brilliant mind.
Yes.
Before his time.
Yes.
And now you said, you know, you both know him. He's sharp as ever and still working on numerous projects.
Yes.
And that's probably part of a secret of how he got to where he's at today, 100 years old, is that you keep that mind busy.
That's right.
And when you've got a talent like that, it just never ends. It's got to go somewhere. So we should all be grateful that he's still putting out great content and working on great projects.
Yes.
And he's Instagram. I watch his breakfast.
Yes.
Motivational.
Yes. Breakfast with Norman. He gives his morsels.
Right.
Yes. Yes. In fact, he's saying, what did he say? That's amore? He's saying for the day before his birthday, I think, or that morning of his birthday, he says, that's amore. And again, he's always reflecting on being in the moment. In the moment, you know. And I also want to shout out his family in Connecticut, because he still has family in the Newington, Connecticut area. He has nieces and grandnieces and nephews that are here in the area. So he still has ties right here in Roots, as we call them, Roots here in Connecticut, that not only born and bred, but he has family that still is here as the legacy of his sister, Claire Lear Brown. So again, thank you so much, Joe, for joining us today and also helping to celebrate this icon and world treasure. And thank you for getting Bernadette Stanis for us.
And thank you. You know, you and Ann continue to do the important work that you do and giving us a voice through you. So just kudos to you.
Well, thank you, Joe. And hopefully our paths will cross again soon, my friend.
And he is an awesome cartoonist. I cannot wait. I'm looking for it. And I want a cartoon of me at 60.
So. Oh, I can give you some ideas, Joe.
<Uh-oh>.
All right. Well, thanks to all our guests today. Lisa, you look beautiful today in celebration of Norman Lear's 100th birthday.
Yes.
You look like you're going to a huge gala, and I'm sure we're going to take a picture so he can see how you showed up and dressed up for his 100th birthday.
Hey, we got to dress up like people matter, and he matters. We all matter. We have to dress up like we're all turning 100.
That's right. Dress up and show up.
That's it.
And thanks to all of you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.